Welcome to Enriched Menopause, where perimenopausal and menopausal women can learn what's going on with their bodies and how to thrive during this stage and beyond. You are not crazy and you are not alone. I'm Dr. Jessica Rich. Let's do this together. Hello, and welcome back to Enriched Menopause. So many times I have patients come in and tell me that they're just not feeling quite right down there. Whether it's in the vagina or the vulva or the bladder, they may be having dryness, which people recognize as a symptom of menopause, or sometimes it's itching or irritation or just feeling a little bit different when they pee. Many times people will think that this is a yeast infection, and they may treat themselves or have a physician treat them over and over again for yeast infections, and they're just not getting better. Little hint, it's most likely not a yeast infection. Now, of course, we do want to rule out yeast infections. Those can occur no matter what the age, and other vaginal infections like bacterial vaginosis or sexually transmitted infections like herpes and chlamydia and gonorrhea. But most of the time, this really isn't from infection at all. It's most commonly from genitourinary syndrome of menopause, which I've talked about in a previous episode, but basically is the lack of estrogen in the tissue around the vulva, the vagina, the bladder, and the urethra. Now, we've talked about how a lot of the symptoms in perimenopause and menopause are related to lack of estrogen, and this really isn't different. And this lack of estrogen can occur even if you're still having menses, so in perimenopause. It can occur, especially as we age, if we've been using contraceptives for a long time, and this may be something like birth control pills, especially the lower dose ones, especially if we're using them continuously, or some of the progesterone-only contraceptives like injections or IUDs or pills or implants. It can also occur when we're breastfeeding after a pregnancy and really at different times in our lives. This lack of estrogen in the tissue can make you feel like you have an infection. It can give you itching and irritation. It can give you frequency and urgency when you urinate. It can make you get up all night to pee. It can make you feel uncomfortable with sex or other times, like when you're exercising or even wiping after you go to the bathroom. Now, although we talked about lack of estrogen and doing things like hormone replacement therapy, typically the lack of estrogen around the vagina and the vulva and the bladder is not really going to be treated by the systemic hormones. When we're giving back systemic estrogen, it's not nearly the same amount of estrogen that your body was making previously prior to perimenopause and menopause. And we'd have to give back a whole lot of systemic estrogen in order to get enough for the genitals and the urinary tract. And typically that has a lot of risks to it. So usually what we want to do instead is give back estrogen around the vagina and the vulva itself. And typically this is going to be in an estrogen cream, or there are vaginal suppositories or vaginal rings that can give the estrogen back in these areas too. And the risks are much, much less when we're giving back local vaginal estrogen. So while the systemic estrogen can have increased risks of things like cardiovascular disease and breast cancer, we know with these low dose topical vaginal estrogens that they're typically working mostly locally. There's very little absorption into the body systemically. It does not significantly change the concentrations of estrogen in our bloodstream, so it really doesn't have the same risks. And we do have good observational studies showing that even women who've had breast cancer themselves do not have an increased risk of recurrence of breast cancer when they're using topical vaginal estrogen. That said, of course, it's not for everybody. For some people, they may have some sensitivities to it. For other people, just the thought of using estrogens is a little bit too scary. So we want to make sure that you're comfortable with what you're using. And like I said, I do think that vaginal estrogens are very safe. I do think that they work for almost everyone. And most oncologists are comfortable with their patients taking this. However, if you're not comfortable with that or can't use it, or you've tried it and it just doesn't work for you, there are additional options. There are over-the-counter options that are non-hormonal. Typically, some of my favorites for this are things like hyaluronic acid, which you can get in a suppository or a gel that you insert into the vagina and around the vulva. You can also get things like coconut oil and vitamin E, which can be very moisturizing and kind of hold in some of the difficulties or the changes that we have with the lack of estrogen. I really like a suppository called Key E for this. It's easy to order. It has both coconut oil and vitamin E in it, and a lot of people like that. There's gels like Replens that are made specifically for this area. There are a lot of different options out there. Additional options may include a suppository that's made similar to DHEA, which is more of a precursor hormone that can turn into things like estrogen and testosterone. Because yes, we have testosterone receptors also in the vagina and the vulva. And for some people, the estrogen alone isn't enough. So we may try this suppository that has the DHEA so we get a little bit of estrogen and testosterone in the area. And for some, that works a little bit better than the estrogen alone. There is a commercially available product like this. It's called Intra Rosa. Some people do get this compounded as well. And for others, the idea of putting something into the vagina on a regular basis just is too much in and of itself. For those patients, I usually recommend Osfina, which is an oral medication. It's a selective estrogen receptor modulator, which is a big long term that basically means that it acts like an estrogen in places that we want it to, like around the vagina and vulva and bladder, but not in places that we don't want it to, like in the breasts. So this is another option that's very safe that can actually be taken orally. Additionally, there are the newer vaginal and vulvar laser treatments. These have been around in the United States for about 7 or 8 years. We're doing laser resurfacing around the vagina and the vulva, similar to what people do on the face or on scars for cosmetic reasons. And this can help as well in terms of increasing the moisture in the tissue and decreasing the discomfort. The lasers do not have big long-term studies following thousands of women for decades or more. They're mostly smaller studies of about 30 women or less, followed for a year or less, that do suggest that they're very safe and effective. However, this data is still limited. I do use them in my practice, and I've had a lot of my patients do very well with them. But just like anything else, they're not perfect for everyone, and they are not covered by insurance. So these can be a little bit more expensive of an option, but some of my patients do really like the convenience of it. Typically with the lasers, we're doing 3, possibly 4 treatments initially that are about a month apart, and then a maintenance treatment about once or twice a year after that. Regardless of what you're using for the moisture for genitourinary syndrome of menopause or for maintenance of the tissue on a regular basis, you may also want to use lubricants with sex. So lubricants are a little bit different. While we're using the treatments on a regular basis, the lubricants are meant to just be used for sex. And the typical water-based lubricants tend to dry up very quickly when you're in perimenopause and menopause. I recommend either a silicone-based lubricant or just plain coconut oil, but you do have to be careful if you're using those with condoms. They don't always work in terms of condoms. They can degrade that area. Now, in general, I'll often have many patients who come to me and they're saying, well, I tried this, I used some vaginal estrogen cream, and it really didn't work for me. And it's really important that we get down to how long did you try it? How were you using it? Were you using it appropriately? Because many times I'll have a patient who tries it a few times or maybe for a few weeks, and it's really going to take longer than that. Sometimes you may have some initial irritation no matter what you're putting in the vagina, especially if you're having pretty severe dryness and discomfort. Most of the time, that irritation is going to go away within the first couple of weeks of using a product, but we're really not going to see the full results of using a product until at least about 6 to 8 weeks into using it. So it's important to give it more time. Of course, if something is giving you a lot of irritation or giving you an allergic reaction, then please stop that. We have many choices and we have them for a reason because there's no one product that works for everybody. But if it's just feeling like a little bit uncomfortable when you insert, I recommend giving it some more time before you move on to something else because each product is going to take some time to work. And that irritation that you already have in the tissue may be sensitive to almost anything initially. If you are having sensitivity to some of the commercially available estrogen products, we can often do this from a compounding pharmacy using something like a neutral base or having you try different bases to see what's going to work best for you, particularly if you're somebody who has a lot of allergies and sensitivities. Now, not all irritation or itching or symptoms are from the genitourinary syndrome of menopause or from that alone. Some of the more common things that I see that can be associated with this is either a contact dermatitis or something we call lichen sclerosis. Now, the contact dermatitis typically means that you're putting something on the tissue that is very irritating to the tissue. And this may be something that you've used before, but that your skin has just become a lot more sensitive to. So it's really important when you're having that irritation to eliminate as many of the irritants as we can. So that means using soaps and detergents that don't have any additional perfumes or dyes. Think about hypoallergenic things. The vagina and the vulva themselves do not need specific products. They just really need something sensitive. You should never be putting soap or douche or vaginal washes into the vagina itself. Your vagina does not need those things. It cleans itself. I do just recommend cleaning the external area, so around the vulva. This can be done with just water or a gentle soap, something like Dove, that's not going to be too irritating. And for some people with very sensitive skin, I do recommend an oil-based soap. I like one that's called Zeracalm for this. I think it works very well for those with sensitive skin that can use more of like a lipid-based soap or an oil-based soap that's not going to be so drying in the area. Additionally, with the contact dermatitis, often this may be from wearing a pad or a liner all the time. I do see so many patients who have just gotten in the habit of always wearing a pad or a liner. Maybe they don't like the discharge that comes out, or maybe they're worried about incontinence, which of course there are other things that we can do for that, and treating the genitourinary syndrome of menopause can help with that. But that friction from the liner can be very irritating. If you do need to wear a pad, using a cotton-based pad can help, or sometimes using those underwear that are meant for either periods or incontinence can give you a little bit more of that absorption without giving so much friction and irritation. If it is a contact dermatitis, then sometimes doing moisturizers can help to both treat and heal the tissue and give a protective barrier. I really like something like Aquaphor for this or coconut oil, particularly for people who are having issues like maybe when they're swimming in the ocean or in chlorine. We see a lot of that down here in Miami. So applying something like Aquaphor before can give a little bit of a barrier to the tissue, avoiding all of those things from kind of sinking into the skin, and also can be very healing and moisturizing as well. The last thing I mentioned is something called lichen sclerosis. And this is a condition that typically occurs for those postmenopausal as well. It does have something to do with the lack of estrogen in the tissue, but there's a little bit more involved than that. There's also an inflammatory process and sometimes even a genetic component. Truth be told, like many things in women's health, we don't know exactly what causes lichen sclerosis. But when we see that, typically what it's causing is thinning of the tissue, usually the skin around the vulva, the perineum, and the anus, sometimes up around the clitoris as well. This can also cause a lightness in the tissue, so the tissue tend to get a little bit more white or pale in color, and it can cause a tremendous amount of itching. It can also start to cause scarring, where the folds of the labia may scar together and disappear entirely, and in very severe cases can cause such severe scarring that the vagina itself can close off. And this can cause a lot of trouble, of course, with trying to have anything inserted into the vagina, like sexual activity, but also can cause issues with the bladder and the urinary tract, and can sometimes cause tearing where that scar tissue is that can give you bleeding as well. Now, for those with lichen sclerosis, usually this can be diagnosed based on symptoms, an exam with a provider who is used to diagnosing these types of things. So some general OBGYNs, but also urogynecologists, minimally invasive gynecologists, and vulvar specialists. This can also often be diagnosed by a dermatologist who's comfortable with this area. Sometimes it can be, like I said, with just exam and symptoms alone. Sometimes it may require a biopsy to get a definitive diagnosis. But when we see this, I do always recommend that we add back some estrogen as well. So this would be the estrogen creams or the other things that I had mentioned above. But it also typically requires a steroid cream or something similar to that to help with the inflammation. Traditionally, the most common things that are used are high-potency steroid creams, things like clobetasole or augmented betamethasone. You can also use a topical called tacrolimus that tends to not have the same long-term thinning effects that those steroids have. And there is some evidence that the laser treatments that I mentioned before can be helpful with this as well, although again, these are newer, smaller studies. Most of the time for my patients with lichen sclerosis, I'll make sure that they're using a vaginal estrogen cream, and then we'll start with a steroid cream, sometimes as frequently as 3 times a day if people are having a lot of symptoms, but then the symptoms tend to get a lot better pretty quickly. So usually we can taper down on that steroid cream to 2x a day, then 1x a day, then every other day, and then maybe 2x a week, and sometimes just as needed, depending on the severity. Sometimes if that's not enough, like I said, we will add in the laser treatments or the tacrolimus, but really this does require a provider who knows what they're looking for and to monitor this regularly. While this is a benign condition, it is not cancerous. Those who have lichen sclerosis are more prone to getting cancers in this area of the vulva. So it's really important to get an exam at least a couple of times a year, at least until things are stable, so that we can see that there's nothing concerning happening. And if there are significant changes, having those biopsied is very important. So these are the most common conditions that I see when somebody's having irritation, itching, discomfort, problems urinating. It's really important that you have these evaluated by someone who knows what they're looking for. So typically a gynecologist, sometimes a urologist if they've had the right kind of training. Urogynecologists and minimally invasive gynecologists do a lot of this. So make sure you're seeing somebody who knows what they're looking for and who can follow you up. And have a little bit of patience when you're trying the treatments. The good news about these treatments or about these conditions is that they are all treatable. They are not dangerous if they're taken care of in the right way. And we can get you feeling a lot better with very minimal risks in the treatment. I hope this has been helpful.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the podcast, leave us a review, and share with someone in your life who may benefit from this too. Remember that while I am a doctor, this podcast does not constitute medical advice and is for informational purposes only. Talk with your doctor about what may apply to you and your health. We'll see you on the next episode of Enriched Menopause.